This is the Leadership 360 podcast, where each month we have an inspiring conversation with a fellow leader aimed at enhancing your skills and faith in all areas of your life. While our podcast is designed for Seventh-day Adventist Church leaders in the Texas Conference, we invite leaders from all over to join us in this journey. Welcome to Leadership 360. All right. Welcome to another episode of Leadership 360 podcast. We're so excited that you're here watching, hopefully in the Texas Conference or around the world. But we want you to become the leader that God has called you and meant you to be. I'm excited today to have someone that I've grown to love over these last couple of years. Sandra Lee. Perryman Mars. I practice this, Sandy. You're just Sandy to me.
Yes.
And Sandy is the women's ministry coordinator on the English side for the Texas Conference. Uh-huh. And we have been looking forward to this conversation.
We have.
A great time when we get together.
Yes, we do.
So, Sandy, welcome to the Leadership 360 podcast.
Thank you.
I'm so excited we're finally getting to do this.
So am I.
So talk a little bit about your journey. How in the world did you become the women's ministry coordinator for the Texas Conference?
Well, that is quite divine indeed, because I was just going about my way, doing my missionary thing, and then I got a call from Pastor Elton, and I was just like, I had to look at the phone and see if this was really legit, you know? But he was like, yes, we'd love for you to be the women's ministry's coordinator. It was just coming out after COVID. But I had been serving in women's ministries for a while, and since coming to Texas, I have worked with the predecessor who was here before, working a lot with retreats. And before that, I worked in women's ministries. I've served the church in different capacities, but I've always had a passion for women's ministries. And so I would even say before becoming the Texas Conference Women's Ministries Coordinator, a lot of the women thought I was actually working. Cheryl Allgood,
sure.
I really owe a lot to her. She was kind of like the first one who asked me to do anything for women's ministries, and then the rest is history.
So talk a little, obviously you're not a native Texan.
No.
Your accent gives out. Talk a little bit about your background, where you're from, how you ended up in Texas, your family.
Okay, so I was born in Trinidad and Tobago, Trinidad to be specific, and we lived in the U.S. Virgin Islands for a while. My husband's in oil and gas, so he worked for this plant and it closed, and he got a job offer to come here to Texas, and so that's how we came.
Ah, yes. And you guys are in the Houston area, the mecca of oil and gas.
Yes.
So talk about kids, I mean, family, I mean.
Yes. So we have two grown adult children. We are empty nesters.
I love it.
Yes. And our son lives here. Our daughter lives in Florida. Yes.
And very, very proud, I'm sure, of how your kids have succeeded in life.
Yes. Yes.
But now that you're empty nested, it does give you a little more time to travel, to do, to really help the women's ministry leaders in the local churches, because that's really one of your main roles.
Yes, indeed. And interestingly, when I moved, the pastor who was just kind of coming into where my membership is, he approached me and he's like, you know, please move your membership from the Virgin Islands here to Houston so that we would love for you to become the women's ministry leader. And so, like you said, being at this age, still being able to move around and travel, because, you know, Texas is so big.
It is.
Yeah, I have like 192 churches, and that's just on the English side.
Right.
So I've been in this position for about 3 years,
right,
and I still haven't scratched the surface. But it's wonderful. And one of the things that I really love about Texas is the diversity in ethnicities. I think we have like 100 different ethnic groups within this conference, you know, approaching 70-something thousand constituents. So it's just wonderful to me. And I've been particularly working to embrace the other women, because, you know, it's sort of like Spanish and English. Mm-hmm. And on my last retreat, we had representation from the Korean church. We had from the French. We had from the Haitian. And then we had from different Caribbean islands. Of course, we have like South Africa and, you know, those different countries, Cameroon, Ghana, and all that. So it's a beautiful fusion that God has blessed us with here in the Texas
Very
Conference.
Much. So being a local women's ministry leader and now being a conference ministry, women's ministry leaders, why is it important for us to minister specifically to women in our churches and in our communities?
So I think that women are really game changers. I mean, if you look back at Ellen White, God chose her. Yeah. She's like the founder of the Advent movement. But women have a unique gift. She herself said that women have a work to do that men are not able to do. And this is not a feminine or feminist statement, but with our nurturing and empathic tendencies, mm-hmm. we can reach people in ways that men sometimes aren't able to do. Right. God has called men to be organizational leaders, and women are also organizational and leaders in their own rights. You know, in the garden, Eve was equal to Adam. So women are able to do things that really causes a lot of changes in society, but with a feminine touch.
Sure.
And I'm really proud to see how women are doing that in this day and age as well, because they're stepping up to the mark. Women are becoming more educated. So they're also able to help not just from the spiritual aspect, but we're looking at things from a holistic perspective as well. We're trying to embrace things of growth and health. So we're taking more control over the things that we're doing now.
So as you look at the landscape of women in the local church, or even we can even broaden it out to women in our community, mm-hmm. what do you see as some of the major issues women are facing in 2025?
Right now, we're facing a lot of, to be honest, there's a lot of divorce mm-hmm. that is taking okay. place, even within our churches. After COVID, the trajectory of certain things changed.
Right.
A lot of times women have been placed in financially difficult situations where they're not able to provide for their families as well as if they were in a two-income household, right. husband and wife. So these are some of the challenges that women face. Oftentimes, I would be called upon to assist in a financial way with the women in the church. And we are organizing relief efforts for those in our communities. Like a lot of the churches, because I'm very missionary oriented. I have really encouraged the women in our local churches to get involved in like pamper drives, community drives, helping with back to school backpack programs for those women that are not able, or families that are not able to afford school books, doing thrift sales for people that are going through hardships. Like if you have gently used clothes, we can do some of those. We just had the End It Now program, and we were dealing with the abuse of elderly people and how we can care for them. And some of the initiatives that we want to do is having drives at the church whereby we can collect, you know, Pampers for elderly people, toiletries, doing meals and stuff like that. So we just don't want to be known as the women's ministries of a church to be insular to our church, the Adventist denomination.
Sure.
We want to be known as people who are creating change in the community and in our churches as well. Because once we establish that, there's a sense of belonging. You know, if a child is in a family and they know that they can come to their parent and they will have some sort of help, they will be more inclined to go there than to go to somebody else.
Right.
And so this is what we want to foster. We want our constituents, we want our church members to know that you can come to us. We are a family. And, you know, we will be your first line of defense. Once people feel a sense of inclusion, a sense of citizenship, they will do anything. If you are at a job and, you know, you're well paid, if the boss asks you to stay extra, then, you know, that's not a problem.
Right.
So this is what we really want to foster.
So why is it that the women of the church especially are so able to meet some of these needs, not only the members, other women in the church, but also the broader community as they face these issues of divorce, of single parenting, all that? Why is it the women of the local churches, why are they positioned so well to meet those needs?
I think women have always been resilient. We were just like, God created us that way. There's a saying, if you give a woman a house, she'll make a home. And the positions in churches, like for a long time, you would notice that even pathfinders and adventurers, they're women leaders. Mm-hmm. So they're grooming these young people in our church. They're grooming minds for eternity. And I don't mean to sound any kind of way, but, you know, with the men having been in more of pastoral eldership mm-hmm. positions, the women have just gotten down in the trenches and it's like, listen, we got to do this. And we tend to continue on, like even when our children go off to uni, we do like care packages. We are the ones who will write to them and send notes to them and different things like that. So I think women today have learned to be resilient. And the ministries, a lot of the ministries, deaconesses, Sabbath school, they're women. So if you have a low budget and you have programs to put on, different things like that, they have to network.
Right.
And I think as they do that, they strengthen their networking muscles.
So looking at women's ministry in the local church, not as opposed to, but in addition to men's ministry, kind of mm-hmm. putting them side by side, mm-hmm. every church I've ever served in and have seen, women's ministry is
yeah.
head and shoulders plus above men's ministry.
Yes.
Why do you think that is? What is it about women's ministry that's like, man, let's go, we can get this done. Men's ministry, it's like, I'm not even sure I want to come together yeah. and, you know, have breakfast with these guys.
Yeah, I know. I think it's kind of like a gender thing too, because as women, we love doing things like that. We love getting together. We love doing tea parties. We love going out for lunch, breakfast, or whatever, and just kind of being supportive. And that changes during the different seasons. Like, you know, sometimes you'll find like a younger mom would be at a different place, different season right. than an older mom. Those that are having kids in high school, you know, so it changes. But I found, you know, even as my children were growing, there was always sort of like a camaraderie at every season. So sometimes men are taught differently, like you're supposed to be strong, you're supposed right. to do this or whatever. And so when we come together at women's ministries, we really sort of provide an environment where it's supportive, it's safe, it's encouraging. Men sometimes feel a bit out of touch to do that.
Right.
So, you know, when we come and, you know, sometimes like at a prayer breakfast and a woman starts crying and then she asks us for prayer for her husband or if something's going on in the marriage or if, you know, she's praying for her children, I think men will not feel as if they're being successful
right.
in their home, in their marriage, or even in church to, you know, kind of bear that because you were raised culturally to always be strong and to present this masculine front. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong, in my opinion, with a man asking for prayer. As a matter of fact, interestingly, when we had our retreat this past March, one of the guys, he was over the meal area. And as I was leaving, I went to thank them, you know, the staff and everything like that. And then I told him thanks for what he was doing. And I says, can I pray for you? And he became very emotional. And he said, yes, could you pray for my daughter? And, you know, the word of God says that the prayer of the righteous mm-hmm. availeth much. And so when a father is asking for prayer, we've seen that throughout the Bible, you know, when the centurion came for his soldier and when the father came and said, listen, my daughter right. is sick. I believe that God had those things placed there so that men could see that I'm in touch with your feelings. I want you to have this place of community. But culturally and even in the church, it's different. Right. And we need to kind of come back to that. God had like all these men around him and they were sharing. They were expressing how mm-hmm. they felt. He expressed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, can't you pray with me?
Yeah.
And I think if we come back to that.
I love that perspective.
Yeah.
What are some things, and you've alluded to a few already, what are some strategies, what are some things that a local church can do through women's ministry, but even partnering with other ministries in the local church to meet the needs of the community? What have you seen? Let me ask it that way. What have you seen in some of these churches where the women's ministries has really made an impact in their local community?
Yeah, so we're already kind of doing that. Like women's ministries, a lot of my leaders are nurses or doctors or in medical professions. Okay. And a lot of them will do things, not just even here, but they will go back to their own countries and they will host like mission trips. So they are hosting like the health drives. And now we are really been focusing on trauma recovery, because this generation that is post-millennial has really kind of come in, I think, after COVID, recognizing that there is suppressed trauma. Mm. And I think God allowed that to rise to the surface now so that he can purify us. So that it's sort of like the Day of Atonement, where we're afflicting ourselves. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to remove any dross from our lives. And in doing this, God is saying this, you still have unforgiveness. Right. You still have anger. You still have bitterness. You still haven't dealt with that trauma, whether it was a rape or an abortion or abuse or whatever it is. God wants to take all of that out of us. And so we've been really focusing on programs that's dealing with that.
Okay.
And in the last retreat, a lot of women are saying, thank you, you're finally speaking about something that has been impacting me, but I just felt it wasn't my place to say it. I felt at one point it was just for happily married women or women who were looking forward to being married. And we're dealing with women who are delaying marriage today because of perhaps they were disappointed in what they saw. But they want a place where they could still feel included, where they can still feel accepted, where they can still feel heard. And so these are some of the aspects that we're coupling with the women in our community. Because whereas they may not come to Sabbath school, they may not come to an event, when we're meeting them like Christ did with where their needs are, they're like, yeah. They're speaking about trauma. They're speaking about divorce. They're speaking about rebuilding or rebranding and switching careers so that I could become more financially independent after a divorce or after a debt or even after a separation, after abuse. How do I handle this? This was not my fault. This was not his fault. We both came to the table broken. And so as we're doing that, God is refining all of us. And so we are reaching the people as Christ did where their needs are.
So give us a little bit, especially for those of us who are guys, give us a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. What happens? You had a couple of retreats so far this year. So if you can talk about those, but talk about what do you do at these retreats?
So,
or are you not allowed to tell us?
No,
guys?
Right, no, right, we
just,
want people
just
want
to make sure.
No, retreats are exactly that. We just retreat from the world and we come in and we just love on each other. We just let our hair down and we fill and refill each other with spiritual knowledge, promises, and we laugh. I think a lot of times, you know, we're just going. And the women, I think if I have like 15 retreats a year, they will come. Because it's kind of like a place where it's like a girls' camp.
Sure.
And they just feel like they can be themselves. They can be Sandy.
Sure.
If you know, you were at a men's retreat, you could be Tom.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm Tom the dad, I'm Sandy the mom or the wife or whatever. You're just Sandy.
Sure.
You're just Tom. And we have sessions where we pray. A lot of times, they just want somebody to pray with. You know, a woman may not share some of the things with her husband that she's experiencing. Maybe we are living in such a fast-paced world that they don't have time to do that. You get together if you're still having family worship and you just kind of pray for the children or you pray for the basic needs, but you don't really get into that kind of deep.
Sure.
And so this is what we do. And of course, the lectures, the presentations are geared. One of the things I try to do is really feel the temperature of what is happening in the church amongst the women. I will do like a survey, and based upon that, you know, the Lord will bring the presenter to really share so that the women could feel like, okay, this is just not me alone that is experiencing this. And I can get help, or, you know, this was not so bad after all.
Well, and what's been kind of neat seeing your retreats is you do age appropriate retreat. You have your women's retreat,
over,
but you've also had some retreats and some gatherings for specific age groups. Talk a little bit about that and why that's so important.
Yeah. So the young adult retreat was actually God saying, you got to do this. I had just come off my first retreat and he was like, I want you to do one for the young girls. And I was just like, God, you know, it just took me like a whole year to do this. And I was as green as grass. And I was like, the young people, that's a little bit, you know, I wasn't so comfortable.
Sure.
And he was like, are you game? And I was like, okay, God, let's do this. Because, you know, you once God's in it, you're going to win it. And it's really been enlightening to me because when we meet them at that place, they feel included by our church. They feel seen by our church and they feel catered to by our church. And we present messages that are age appropriate. It's usually 13 to 25.
Okay.
And I found that that demographic, you know, they're coming to church, but some of them are disengaged.
Sure.
And by the time they go off to uni, that's it. You know, they're culturally Adventist, but spiritually, they're not there.
Right.
And God said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. I just don't want them to have their parents' religion. I want them to have a relationship that is personal to them and God. So at these retreats, we sort of like reintroduce in very subtle ways the doctrines of the Adventist church.
Okay.
But it's done in such a way that they're like, like when we do the prayer spot on Friday night, it's relaxing to them. The girls are coming in after school. Sometimes they don't want to be there. And when we do that and we pamper them, then they start to feel like, oh, this is nice. It's
so what special. Is that? I'm kind of curious. You said prayer spa.
Yeah.
What is that? That sounds pretty awesome.
The prayer spa is, and the grown women love it too. It's something that I do. It's so the prayer spa is like communion, really.
Okay.
Shh, you can't tell. And it's really fancy. We give them all the fancy salts and then we get them robes. There's flowers and everything like that. But it's really communion because by the end of the weekend, we would have washed them with the word of God. Remember, you can't tell anybody.
No.
Okay, yeah.
It's our secret.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, the girls just love it because they love going to get their toes done and their nails done and all of that stuff. But when we say, you know, Jesus was the one who first invented this bar. God wanted to wash you. He wanted to wash all the dirt. He wanted to make you whiter than snow. And when we present the love of God in this way, when it's aromatic, when it's personal, and then the girls are allowed to pray for each other, it is an amazing thing.
Sure.
It starts breaking down barriers. And then when we do communion, it's all fancy and stuff like that, then they see the sacrament of God in a different way. Because the cross is love.
Yeah.
But to a young person who has not had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the cross is cruel.
Right.
Communion is a long, boring Sabbath.
Yeah.
But when you present it like that, and they feel the love, and they smell the love of God like that, it takes on a whole different trajectory.
I love that. I love that. And I'm sure you have so many women walking away from it.
They do.
Saying, I have now had an encounter with Jesus because of this.
Yes.
In a way and in a space that they never would have imagined.
Yes.
They could have that encounter.
And it's resting. I mean, like we encourage them, we give them tea, we give them these aromatic teas, and we just encourage them to rest and relax. And they're entering into God's rest. And even if it's not on the Sabbath, it's just learning to rest. The Lord says he leads you beside those waters. He restores your soul. And that's what we want women's ministries to do.
I love that. Let me go back now to the local church, because that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the heart and the soul of what we do in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is at the local church. Let's say a woman in the local church, maybe the church doesn't have a women's ministries coordinator, or maybe the women's ministries coordinator decided to step back for various reasons. Let's say a woman is feeling the prompting of the Holy Spirit that she could lead and being led to leading women's ministry.
Yeah.
What advice would you give them?
If the Holy Spirit is leading you, then who am I to say no? The thing is, women's ministries could be exciting, but it could also be daunting. Because one of the things that I have been working feverishly to debunk is that it's not just prayer breakfasts and tea parties. It is a ministry. It is meant to minister to others in the church as well as outside of the church. It is a mission statement to bring about relief, to bring about empowerment, encouragement, education, and to evangelize. It is part of the church that is meant to reach the world as well.
Gotcha.
And so one of the things that I would like to see more happening is the support of some of the other departments for women's ministries, because we do have the very, unique ability to function with different departments. Say, for instance, if Women's Ministries is hosting Women's Day and we want to do an emphasis on health, it could be anything. You know, we could be looking at the health of postpartum women, women that are going through menopause, elderly women, or just family members. You know, a young woman, there has been, with the diets of some of the young people, we've found that a lot of the girls, like a couple of women approached me about, you know, teaching girls how to eat properly so they're not having, like, their cycles being so painful and different things like that. So it is, it's quite unique. If you're dealing with the deaconesses, you can teach young women to become, you know, servants in the church. Education. If we can have like an education drive, because we do have a scholarship. So once we allow the young women to know that when we put tithe and offering there, we are enabling, we are ensuring your future. The devotionals that are sold for women are helping to send undergrad women to school. So it's very diverse and very unique.
So what I hear you saying is that a good practice is not just women's ministry being in this silo. We're very much collaborating with these other ministries to reach not only, again, and you said it earlier, which I totally appreciated, women's ministry is evangelistic.
Yeah.
We're not only doing this for ourselves, for the women who are part of our community of faith, but more importantly, we are doing it for our community. Where this may be the only place and the only space where the women of the community see and hear Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
So paint for me. I love what you said. And I want to build upon what you're saying in terms of getting out of our silos, because that is just, we love our silos.
Yes.
What would a church look like? And maybe there's a church like this in Texas that I'm not aware of. What would a church look like that is healthy, that has a vibrant women's ministry component? What would that church look like?
Total support.
Talk of what okay. I love that, but what is that?
So
tease
for instance,
that out a little bit.
I liked the way when you brought the silos, because I know you had Lynette Accord on this program. And so when I had the young adult retreat, I brought Lynette and the Plant Trust Services Department to really start educating our young women, because sometimes we don't think that they need to know about money and plans and trust. But with untimely deaths happening, our young people, sometimes you're finding they lost both parents. Or, you know, sometimes they're placed in care with their grandparents if something happens. In a healthy environment for women's ministries, the women's ministry leader will not be struggling to have financial support in her local church. I often tell them, and this is going to be another secret, okay? Because I kind of learned this over the years.
Lots of secrets now.
So Sabbath School and Pathfinders usually have the biggest budgets in our churches. And I says, when you're planning a program, like for instance, we have three programs, Women's Day of Prayer, International Day, and the End It Now program. Get with your Sabbath School leader and work with them, because a lot of times when it's women's ministries, it's gifts and it's potluck and all that involved. Get these other departments involved. Like, I love to collaborate with Pathfinders. Sometimes, like, if we're having an event, a prayer breakfast, I give it to Pathfinders. We get them involved, they get some money. But also, the Pathfinder department will take money from their budget. So we can cover one part of the program.
Right.
They will cover one part of the program. Even if they spent $100, they make like $400. So it's, you know, a win-win game.
Sure.
But in order to have a healthy women's ministries, we first have to debunk that women don't just come together and talk about each other. It has to be serious. And these are some of the things I've been encouraging the women to know. If it's said here, it stays here. Like the only place it goes is before the throne room of God. Unless somebody's trying to hurt themselves,
right. It
stays right here. And then fostering an environment where you're coming together to help each person in their place of need. I think that's what our churches need, because a lot of times women's ministries seem to be like an elite club.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, okay, no, I'm not in women's ministries. I tell them all the time, if you're a woman and you're in any type of ministry in the church, you're in women's ministries by default. Yeah. You just don't know it.
So as we kind of come to an end of this, because we got some other questions I want us to go through, what is the one takeaway? If everybody forgets everything else we talked about, which they probably will, unless they put it on rewind or go... What is the one takeaway as you think about women's ministry and as you're talking to leaders in the Texas Conference and around the world, mm-hmm. what is the one takeaway that you want to leave with them?
First of all, that you are not just appointed by the church board. You were called by God for such a time as this. God has gifted you. He has placed within you a high calling. Something that is needed now to lead women. I don't think that we fully understand that. When Joseph was called, he was having dreams when he was way young. And then it took a time for God to bring that to fulfillment. And we see that throughout the Bible, that even when David was anointed, there was a time.
Right.
But it did come to fulfillment. When Esther was left as an orphan, she might have been feeling destitute, but it took her living with Mordecai to then be coming into the palace to fulfill her purpose. A leader by God is a very high calling. And today I want those that are in positions of leadership to remember it's not just you being a person in the church. It is also a responsibility. You will have to talk to God. You will have to answer to God. And you need to develop that which he has gifted you. And as you start putting one foot in front of the other, because like when I started, you know, I didn't know everything.
Right.
Like even if you go to school, you still don't know everything.
Exactly.
God trains us and he teaches us, even in our wilderness moments, even when the church is struggling, to get the ministry up and going. But if you continue to put one faithful foot in front of the other, God will never let go of your hand.
I love that. So let's take a transition now. We're going to do the lightning round. It's our practice that at the end, we want to get to know you a little bit more.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you quick questions, no right answers, no wrong answers. Just kind of go with what your gut says. So
pop quiz.
Number one, that's right. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
A night owl.
So night owl like midnight or night owl like 3 a.m. in the morning?
Like kind of both, because I like to read late at night and then I like to wake up at 3 a.m. to pray, because God started doing that for me when I wanted to really take my relationship with God deeper. He started waking me up at 3 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll get up at 3, pray for like an hour and then go back to sleep.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So that is kind of a night owl, but that's all could be a morning person too. I mean, you go back to sleep. So we'll say night owl. What is your favorite time of the year?
Actually December, to be honest.
Why?
Yeah, because it's like, it's very festive. And I think no matter what, you know, however people celebrate it or whatever, I like the feeling that people have a feeling of love. And it just gives me sort of an insight, a preamble to what heaven should be or would be like. When people are happy and jolly, I think of if we loved God and then loved our fellow beings, this world would be such a wonderful place.
I love that. What is the most memorable trip you've ever taken?
So England. So when I went to England for my 50th birthday, it was like so surreal. I felt like I was born in Trinidad, as you know, and we were colonized by the British. So when I went to England, it was just like I felt like my heart had come home. Like I belonged there. I think my parents didn't know that I was born in Trinidad. You know? But no, I mean, it was wonderful. And then visiting the palaces, like I visited most of the palaces in England, it really gave me sort of a extra boost to want to see God. When I see these ornate palaces that was designed by mankind, and then the word of God says that I have not seen, nor has it even entered into our imagination. And I mean, the imaginations of these edifices are so beautiful. It's like God, not even for that, not even for the palaces, But to think that God left something that I cannot describe to come for me, to come for you.
So was that a family trip? What was?
No, it was actually just, that was the beginning of, I would say, my mission journeys. During that trip, I also proved the relevancy of the Sabbath, the Celtics who kept the Sabbath, and how even in a post-Christian society, that the pioneers I visited, John Wesley's, John Bunyan, John Knox's.
Wow.
Yeah, all of these.
How long was this trip?
6 weeks.
Oh, yes. Man, I'm jealous.
Yeah, usually whenever I go to Europe, I go for 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm trekking through all of these Christian historic places. Yeah, Oxford, seeing where Latimer and they were burnt at the stake. Knowing that to walk where these men walked and to see that, interestingly, they tried to destroy them, but now they're erected statues and stuff like that. It's to show that God's word will never fail. The permanency of those who he has used, like you and I, as leaders, will stand the test of time.
I love that. What is one thing on your bucket list?
To go to Italy.
Italy?
Yes.
Another 6-week trip, I'm sure.
I don't think so. Not with the demands
of... Why Italy?
To tell you the truth, it's just been a dream that I've always had since I was a young girl. I've just always wanted to go to Italy. Yeah. And perhaps Turkey to see, tracing the footsteps of Paul.
Right.
And they, yes. But that is travel wise. But if I were to say really at my core, I would just like for people to know that whatever I do, it helps make them understand that God forgave me and that God loves you and that he will forgive you.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. If you could have any animal as a pet, any animal, what would it be?
Well, I've been kind of leaning towards one of those little shih tzus. Is that how you pronounce it?
The Shih Tzu dog?
Yeah.
Now, this could be any animal. This can be a lion. This can be a tiger. These are all domestic. In our world, it's all domesticated.
I'm not really a big animal person.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
But, I like the little puppies. Not that we're empty nesters. It's nice, to have somebody bark when you come home. Yeah, but...
Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe a fish. But I mean, I travel so much now. The fish, I'll have to put it in a baggie and bring it. And so with the dog.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Dogs, we have a couple dogs and it can hinder. You need to find somebody to watch the dog when you're out of town. And so last question, and I always love asking this question, and I'm really interested to hear this from you. What is the best piece of advice you ever received?
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Do you remember who first told you that?
Sorry. This lady from church when we got baptized.
Why is that stuck so long? So, I mean, it seems to be something that is stuck in you. And not only is it stuck, but obviously knowing you these last number of years, you live it out. You live it out. What is it about that piece of advice that's like, man, this is something I'm going to hold on to?
I have had some people that really kind of didn't live up to the standard, but Jesus never failed me yet.
I love that. So even in the ups and downs of disappointments of life.
He's remained constant.
I love it.
He's remained faithful.
That is a great place for us to end, because that is you, Sandy. You live that out like no one I've ever seen before, in terms of just, you come into the room with you and you light up and you just ooze.
Praise God.
And project the love of Jesus. And it has been so much fun, like I said, to work together, to spend time together.
Yes.
And it's been fun for us to have this conversation.
Amen.
So thanks again for coming.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
I appreciate so much. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Leadership 360. You can join us each month on the third Thursday of the month. where you get your podcasts. You can join us on YouTube for the video podcast at Texas Adventist, or wherever you get your podcast, you can follow Leadership's 360 with Tom Grove. This is the last episode of season two. We look forward to seeing you in January of 2026 as we begin another season of Leadership 360, where you can become the leader that God has meant you to be. We'll see you next time.
Leadership 360 is a Texas Conference of Seventh-day Adventist production. Our executive producers are Ken Dixon and Dr. Tom Grove. Our producers are Ever Sorto and Tammy Townsend. Our sound engineer is Aaron Metter, and video editor is Tammy Townsend. New episodes of Leadership 360 are released on the third Thursday of every month, so be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find the video version of this podcast on the Texas Conference YouTube. Thanks for listening.